Hello, and welcome to Grandpa's Tales of Terror. We are continuing with Spore, a.k.a. Tale of a Fun Guy, Return of the Mayflower. Wonder what the crew is going to find out. Let's listen in. Now close your eyes and let your imagination carry you into a world of fear and horror. Captain Julie Strong was getting a drink of water when communications technician Ann Remack reported that communications were still strong from Mars, but haven't heard anything from Mission Control. Nodding her head, Captain Strong took her sip from the straw. The navigator, Chris Grenhall, advanced engineer Rick Ketchman, and pilot Jesse Hertzen were at the front of the ship. The crew was handpicked by Commander Stickler. All were excellent at their jobs, and when asked by Commander Stickler, not one of them hesitated in answering the call. The launch was within the time frame that was planned, 1 month before Mayflower 28th reached Mars. Their ship was a combination of three others, all retrofitted, inspected, and approved for the trip to Earth. Launch was perfect, and it also was the first launch of a spacecraft from the planet. Shifts were maintained in terms of sleeping, exercise, eating, even just quiet time. They were 2 months into their mission, fly to Earth and fly back with the supply rocket. The supply rocket, besides carrying almost everything needed for the colony, was also carrying the one-shot inoculation. Even though the inoculations started when Mayflower 28 was launched, the vaccine wasn't on the ship because it was determined that allergies were not a priority on Mars. However, due to the decontamination process, nothing is allowed into the colony. Those that work outside drilling core samples or xenoarchaeology, the study of material to analyze and establish life patterns and ways of alien civilizations, have to stay in the mudroom, as they call it, to be chemically washed, scrubbed, then a disinfection of both solution and UVGI, ultraviolet germicidal irradiation, to kill or inactivate microorganisms in all areas of the suit and boots. The suit is then inspected for tears, holes, or repairs that might be needed. With 3 months to go, time passed by slowly. Even with the newer engine design, which cut down travel time to 5 months from 7.5, it still felt long. The one question on everyone's mind was, what exactly are they returning home to? Discussions were held prior to launch from Mars, and discussions and plans were still being made. Having had no updates from Mission Control, they had no idea what they were heading into, and planning was made for worst-case scenarios. Weapons had been issued to everyone in the event of a violent conflict with whoever. With 1 month to go, the communication system came alive. Static started coming through the ship's speakers. Going to the communications console, communications tech Ann Remack was trying to zero in on the message, working through the static and constant signal interruption. She called Captain Strong, who was grabbing a bit of shut-eye in her quiet time. Walking to the comm console, ComTech Remack handed a pair of headphones to the captain to possibly hear the recorded message better. With both of them listening as best as possible, the message that they heard was, hold for Earth. Hold our Earth. Slow, but still continuing. Due to vaccinated. Once you from the flower. We're telling you helmet on. Repeat. keep your helmets on until you have been by members of the military. They will escort decontamination. You will be following same as on the colony. As soon as possible, you receive the message. Please, mission control, out. Both Strong and Remak heard the entire message. Strong hit the ship's intercom button and asked everyone to meet on the ship's bridge immediately. The navigator, Chris Grenhall, and pilot Jesse Hertzen were at the front of the ship. Advanced engineer Rick Ketchman was in his sleeping compartment reading. Upon hearing the intercom, he unstrapped himself from his sleeping bag and went to the bridge. Once everyone was there, Captain Strong replayed the message from Mission Control. After being played, Strong mentioned that a reply had already been sent and asked if there were any questions. Rick Ketchman, advanced engineer, asked what she thought they were getting into. Saying that was a good question, Strong shook her head. She just told her crew to be careful, be aware, and get back to Mars. She dismissed everyone. It was one day to go. Then the Mayflower Earth would be landing, almost in the same spot when the Mayflowers started launching 5 years ago in 2036. Navigator Chris Grenhall was doing his calculations regarding the landing. Taking in the speed of the Earth, rotation of axis, speed of the ship, the Earth's orbit, and a few other calculations in order to have a safe and hopefully not too rough landing. With the calculations complete, adjustments were made to the trajectory of the Mayflower Earth and speed. As the time to land got closer and closer, items were stored, tied down, and put back in their proper places. Everyone then buckled in. The pilot, Jesse Hertzen, had control and was guiding the ship in. Announcements were being made regarding the ship's speed and descent. Closer and closer, the ship descended towards the Earth. The ship's landing gear could be felt, vibrating through the ship as it locked into position. The exhaust stream was then diverted and directed downward. Outside cameras showed the slow descent and then a slight bump. Jesse turned the engines off and everyone clapped. They were home. As per the instructions given from Mission Control, everyone donned their spacesuits. The external door was opened and the motorized ramp was extended to the ground. All crew members exited, grateful that they were safe and glad to be home, all bet for a couple of days. Waiting for a few minutes, Captain Strong made the decision to start walking towards the main building of Mission Control. As they looked around, it was mentioned that things were extremely quiet and that it was a bit unnerving. There was no military to greet them, as they had been told. Some of the storage buildings that they passed were open and others were locked shut. It was difficult to imagine the horror that had taken place with the millions of deaths over the last 9 months. Walking past one of the open buildings, Rick Ketchman broke away from the group to have a quick look inside. Captain Strong told him to be careful. Making his way into the building, there was a loud clang noise and then the crying of what sounded like a female. Making his way to the back of the building, he found what had made the noise. A female, dressed in what looked like gray mechanic coveralls, was sitting on the floor of the building. As Ketchman approached her, he could see that she was bleeding from the thigh, the coverall ripped where the wound was. He could also tell that she was scared because she didn't know who he was. After a few minutes went by, Strong was about to have someone else go into the building and check on Ketchman, but the sound of vehicles in the distance guided her attention elsewhere. Three jeeps were approaching her. Once the jeeps were closer, they slowed down in speed and came to a stop in front of the crew. A man, dressed in a short-sleeved shirt with a tie and a pen pocket protector, got out of one of the jeeps and approached them with his hand outstretched. Because the crew all looked the same with their helmets on, he called out Captain Strong's name. Strong moved forward, saying, "That would be me." Shaking hands, he introduced himself as Dr. Mark Bell, one of Mission Control's flight controllers. He apologized that he wasn't here earlier when they had first landed, but a bit of a situation had arisen. Just then, Catchman came out with the injured female. Immediately, two military police officers from one of the other jeeps took her from Catchman and placed her in the jeep they were in as quickly as possible, and proceeded to place a hood over the woman's head. Captain Strong asked Dr. Bell what was that about, and he told her he would tell her, but wanted everyone to get into the jeeps and into decontamination as soon as possible. After that, he would debrief and tell her about everything that was happening to date. But before they left, Dr. Bell asked Catchman if he removed his helmet. Surprised, Catchman looked at his captain, and again, with urgency, Dr. Bell asked him if he had removed his helmet. The two military police officers were slowly walking towards Catchman. Not knowing what was going on, Captain Strong then asked Catchman if he removed his helmet. Looking at Dr. Bell and then Captain Strong, Catchman replied, "No, he did not." Breathing a sigh of relief, Dr. Bell invited them into the jeeps to take them to Mission Control's main building. As they drove away, Catchman watched the woman and the military police officers take off in another direction, wondering where they were going.